We are looking this morning, as Colin already mentioned, at our verse of the year. We thought about it last time in January. You remember January when it was wet and cold and rained a lot? Completely different to now, except for today. And on that second Sunday in January, we looked at this verse. For to me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Let's just check you've all got it. So take a few words out. Let's say it. For to me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Philippians 1, verse 21. For, you say it now. Oh, there's another easier one. Let's do one more. Can you just press B on the keyboard? Or W, that'll do, yeah, right. For to live is Christ, to die is gain. Philippians 1, verse 21. Job done. For to me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. And we're going to be thinking about the second half of that verse, that expression, to die is gain. In January, when we looked at the first half, we thought about the fact that Paul was saying that for him, living was all about Christ, all about the greatness of Christ and the gospel of Christ. That's what shaped how he lived. And because of that, Jesus being known was more important than his freedom and more important than his reputation. He speaks about that in the early part of the chapter. But the second half was to die, and is to die, is gain. Paul has a habit of turning things around, turning things upside down, like the gospel does, really. In chapter 3, in verse 7, he talks about, whatever used to be profit, I now consider loss, compared with surpassing greatness of knowing Christ. Paul says, worldly values get turned upside down. What I used to think was profit, which was being really clever and doing loads of good things, what I used to think was valuable, that's turned completely upside down, and now I think it's useless, it's just like dung to me. What's more important is knowing Christ. And when it comes to life and death issues, he again turns everything upside down, and he says, to die is gain. That's not generally what people would think or say. Just think about a couple of famous atheists and what they've said about death. Bertrand Russell, mathematician, humanist, atheist, angry man against God, said this: I believe that when I die, I shall rot and nothing of my ego will survive. To die is gain? No, to die is rot. Or Richard Dawkins, who's kind of optimistic in a negative way, he says this: being dead is no different to being unborn. So he says in a rather sort of poetic way, I shall be just as I was in the time of William the Conqueror or the dinosaurs. In other words, not existing. To be dead is to be no different to being unborn. Perhaps a little bit more honestly, Woody Allen said this: I'm not afraid of death, I just don't want to be there when it happens. It's one of his famous quotes. And another one: I don't want to achieve immortality through my work. Perhaps he got fed up with people saying, you know, your work will live on. I don't want to achieve immortality through my work. I want to achieve immortality through not dying. The general view would be that death is not a good thing. What do you think about when you think about death? Do you think about uncertainty? Are you uncertain when you think about death? Do you think of nothingness, like Richard Dawkins does? Or is it something that you fear and you really don't want to be there? Paul's desire, expressed in this verse, is to be with Christ. He knows that there's work here in this earth for him to do. He talks about that a lot in chapter 1 of Philippians. He sees value in staying because he wants to complete certain tasks, missions with the church. So he sees value in staying, but he knows what's the greatest, what is the gain, what is the best thing, what is better by far. He knows what is best, and what is best is death. Not dying, but death. Far better than all the good work he could do for Christ in this world. Better in quality, better in duration, better in the experience of it. Let's just think together about that for a few moments. Why is it gain? Why would Paul think of it as being gain? Well, it's gain because it takes us to where we belong. We're going to move around a little bit in the book of Philippians, just looking at how Paul speaks about the future. So chapter 3, verse 20, for example, Paul says this: compared with those who are following their stomachs, they're trusting, they're teaching self-reliance, they're living for satisfaction now, compared with them, verse 20, our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says it takes us to where we belong because our citizenship is in heaven. You live here, he says. You're contented to live here, and you need to be contented. We'll think about that in a few moments. You'll enjoy many good experiences here. You'll have loads of opportunity to serve Christ here. Living here is absolutely what God wants you to do at this moment, but it's not your home. You're like a traveler who has a passport which has many visa stamps on it. It's all stamped all over, but all those places that are stamped on your passport as countries that you visit is not where you come from, and it's not where you will return. It's not where your citizenship is. Your citizenship is on the front of the passport, and it's heaven. I'm going to Brazil in a few weeks' time. Do some Bible teaching. It'll be a few weeks, 10 days or so, of great food, some indigestion, fellowship, sharing together, laughing about things, meeting other Christians, hot weather. First few days is near a beach, different culture. All those things which will be great to enjoy, but it's just a visit. And I think, like most people who are away from their family, although you really enjoy being away, you know it's not home, and there's something always inadequate about experiencing things. I used to go on loads of business trips, and you'd go to some spectacular capital city in Europe, and there'd be nice buildings, and you'd stay in a really nice hotel, but it would feel kind of all right, but not all right, because your family aren't with you, and it's not home. And Paul says, your citizenship, what's stamped on your passport, what's etched in your heart, is heaven, not here. Or at least it should be. Your citizenship's in heaven. Are you feeling homesick for heaven? Paul definitely says, it's all right living here. There's fun, there's enjoyment, there's contentment, there's service, there's ministry. But it's incomplete, it's partial, and it's temporary, and it's not home. And the challenging question for us this morning is that, do we believe that that's where we really belong, or do we want to fill our stomachs here? It's gain because it takes us to where we belong, and it takes us to be with Christ. Paul makes a comparison in verse 23 of Philippians 1. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Paul makes that comparison. And he says, I desire to be with Christ, but it would be helpful for you if I stay. But I know my calculation is that being with Christ is better by far. It's better by far because it's with Christ. It's where I belong, but it's where I belong because it's with Christ. It's in the perfect, unspoiled presence of Christ. It doesn't mean everything here is worthless, but it does mean that trying to satisfy myself, either by pleasure or by effort of trying to justify myself, all those things are worthless compared to knowing Christ and to attaining to the resurrection, to being with Christ. Just looking again at what we read in chapter 3 in verse 20. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await not just our release, not just being in a better place, we eagerly await a Saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether we die before he returns, or whether we are still on this earth when he returns, what we look forward to is to be with Christ, which is better by far. It's to get to the best place. The worst descriptions of heaven focus on ourselves and our satisfaction. The best descriptions of heaven focus on Christ and being in his presence. And if you believe Jesus is God, if you believe Jesus is your Savior, if you believe Jesus died for you on the cross, if you believe Jesus is now exalted at the right hand of God the Father and has all power and all authority, but still loves you and puts his hand on your shoulder and welcomes you, if you believe that, if you believe that God is good and perfect and holy, if you believe God made everything good and wants you to be with him, then you will want to be with Christ, and it will be better by far. And you will believe that. Why wouldn't you want to be there? It's gain because it takes us to where we belong with Christ, awaiting the final resurrection. Philippians 3 verse 11, Paul says, and so I want to become like him in his life and like him in his death. And so somehow, verse 11, to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Somehow, by God's grace, I am going to attain. I am going to be there at the general resurrection. We die in expectation of that. So chapter 3, verse 21, who by the power, this is citizenship in heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, his supreme universal power, he will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. We die and we immediately go to be with Christ, which is better by far. And with Christ, we wait for that day, which we call the final or the general resurrection, where all will be risen from the dead and given new bodies. It's that amazing transformation that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 51 onwards, really. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, means die, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable will clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. It's a bit of an expansion of what Paul says here in Philippians. He will transform our lowly bodies, human bodies which are sinful and which are subject to decay. We get old and we die. He will transform those lowly bodies to be like his glorious body, his resurrection body, the body that he had as he has risen from the dead and appeared to his disciples, the body that will not die. We will be given those glorious bodies. And going to be with Christ is waiting for that. Paul says, if you're still alive, you'll be transformed. If you're dead, you'll be raised. And all together, we will have new bodies in the new heaven and earth. And so death is gain. Because it's the gateway to that. The gateway to being in a world without sin. You know, sometimes the devil sells us a lie. That actually, things here are okay. Could be a bit better, but they're okay. And really, it's better to stick with what we know rather than some vague experience of clouds and angels and harps and vials and stuff. And although perhaps we don't completely suck in that lie and believe it, sometimes we kind of think, well, I'm not quite sure about the future, but I know about now. And I know I really need to sort out a few things in my life now and make it a bit more convenient and helpful. And I know I really need to get satisfaction now. And, you know, I hope to get to heaven, but really here is all right. There's just a few little tweaks and it'll be even better. And Paul wants us to understand that to die is gain, because it's not just a little bit better. It's not just a few times better to be with Christ awaiting the final resurrection, but it is completely transformed and it is so much better. It could be described universally for all Christians as gain. However pleasant your life is now, however many brilliant experiences you have had, however intelligent you are, however much wonderful family you have and wonderful clothes you have and wonderful things that you've done and watched and seen and wonderful places that you've visited, however brilliant your life seems to be, however pleasant it seems to be, being with Christ will be far better, so much better, it will be described as gain in every single one of your case. It will always be better to be with Christ in all cases. And we need to hear that and we need to believe that, because the devil is always pulling us back to think, well, I know about this life and I kind of understand it and I'm pretty confident walking around on this earth because I know how it works, I think. And I don't know about the future. And maybe God's not as good as I'm told that he is. And maybe God's not capable of making a new heavens and a new earth that's better than this heaven and new earth. Maybe he's become a bit less competent at building good things. Maybe he can no longer paint the colours into this earth. Maybe he can no longer make great variety. Maybe he can no longer make great experiences. But of course, in our best moments, we know that's such a stupid thing to say. Because every good experience you have ever had or ever will have, where does it come from? Does it come from the devil? No. Does it come from you and your great endeavors? No. It comes from God. So why wouldn't you want to be with him? It's where we're going. It's what we're made for. So to die is gain. Is that how you calculate? Is that how you reason? Is that how you measure things? Going home to be with Christ, awaiting the resurrection, is the best thing that could happen to you. What does it mean for us? Well, I've really talked about it already, but just to underline it, it means I face life with purpose and death with certain hope. For most people, life is uncertain but real, and death is frightening because it's terminal. Paul has that dilemma, doesn't he, in verse 22. We mentioned it already. For to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. If I am to be going on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I don't know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. He has that genuine dilemma. He seems unsure which to choose. Either the joy of service, working hard, fruitful labor, helping the church to progress, or to be with Christ, which, as we've tried to say already this morning, is better by far. And it's a very challenging dilemma that he has, because I think it's a dilemma that we don't have. Have you ever kind of sat down and reasoned with yourself, what would I rather, the joy of serving Christ here in his church, or being with Christ? But it is a dilemma we should think about. We normally think about, what do I dread most or what do I want most? In terms of dread, the afflictions of life from which death would release me, or the terrors of death from which life protects me. But Paul sees both as good because of Christ. And he says, I want Christ to be exalted, whether by my life or by my death. Life can have meaning and joy and usefulness. He's not in a hurry to die. But when the comparison is made, he knows where he'd rather be. And really understanding that to die is gain doesn't just give us perspective on death, it gives us perspective on life too. That we think of life in terms of fruitful service, of opportunities to serve Christ and to know him better and better now, that we may know him fully, even as we're known. It doesn't mean that death is no longer fearful or painful for us to go through or for those that we leave behind. Billy Graham said, "I have a certainty about eternity that is a wonderful thing, and I thank God for giving me that certainty. I do not fear death. I may fear a little bit about the process, but not death itself." And I think that's a good expression of what Christians should say and think. We should not fear death because God gives us the certainty that it's gain. But we do fear the process of dying because it's painful for us and it's painful for those who observe it and it's painful for those who are left behind. There is real loss. Jesus recognizes that. He cries at the grave of his friend because he recognizes the sorrow that death brings. So we're realistic about that. The process of dying is painful. It's part of the stain of sin on this world. That dying is a horrible experience for us and for those who observe it. But death itself is not loss, it's gain. So we live life to be fruitful for Christ. And we think about death in terms of pain and sorrow, but gain as we are with Christ. So it's gain. So I face life with purpose and death with certain hope. And meanwhile, I'm wanting to serve sacrificially. Chapter 2, verse 17, Paul says this. "Even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you." Paul says, I'm laboring, I'm working, I'm holding out the word of life. I'm pouring myself out like a drink offering. He's thinking about the Old Testament kind of allusion, idea, picture of a drink, some wine or something being poured out as an offering to God. And he's saying, this is what my life experience is. It's one of being poured out, giving myself over to work for Christ. I want to do that sacrificially. You've all heard probably the kind of management proverb or allegory where it goes something like this. No one on their deathbed says, I wish I'd spent more time at the office, or I wish I'd spent more time at work. I'm sure that's helpful to think about that. But would it also be true to say, no one on their deathbed will say, I wish I spent more time serving Christ. I wish I spent more time helping Christians. I wish I spent more time telling people the gospel. I wish I gave more of myself. I wish I gave more of my money. I wish I'd given more of my time. I wish I'd burned myself out a little bit for Christ. Is that the wrong thing to think? Is that as silly as the guy who's burned himself out working in the office or working in his work? Is that as crazy? Paul says, I wish you'd spend more time serving Christ. Now, of course, when you balance in all these things, the Bible doesn't encourage anyone to burn out. I was reflecting on that this week, that burnout in Christian service, as much as it is in work, secular work, is kind of an idolatry, isn't it? you know, burning ourselves out completely, it's kind of an idolatry because it says, I'm the only one who can fix this. I'm the one who's indispensable. I'm the one who doesn't need rest, even though God commands me to take rest. So we're not called to burn ourselves out. Jesus encourages his disciples to have times of rest, to take themselves out of the public eye and public arena and take rest. So it's not an encouragement to burn out, but it is an encouragement to be poured out. Because we know there's this one life, and then we're with Christ. So actually, being everything from inconvenienced to thrown in jail and killed is nothing to give up compared with the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ. And to have that perspective and say, I'll just push myself a bit. Yes, I need to rest. And it's not just about coming to meetings. And it's not just about ticking the box of doing a particular ministry. But it is about pouring myself out in my family life as I seek to lead my family in a way that honors Christ. In my workplace, as I seek to work for Christ there and tell people about Christ, as Roger was seeking to do when he was working there. And it is about how I come along to church meetings and I try and encourage my fellow Christians and I see where I can help and I can serve them. And I can see what the church needs and I offer to do that. And I pray for my brothers and sisters, and I pray for my family, and I pray that Christ's name would be honored. And I really give myself over for that. And sometimes I'm tired, and sometimes I feel really worn out with it all and emotionally wrecked because I've given myself over to it too much. Because I'm pouring myself out. And it's not just something I fit in along with going swimming and getting my hair cut. It's something that I give myself over to. And it takes priority because Christ is important to me in life because I'm going to live with him forever. To die is gain. You want to serve sacrificially if you really think that. Are you? And finally, to die is gain, so we're contented and we're generous. This could be the moment where this turns into like an internet appeal or TV-based kind of evangelist appeal, where I tell you all now to get your wallets out. There was the thing we were going to try this morning, which is you all get your wallets out and think about what you're going to give. But before you actually give any money to the church, you have to give your wallet to the person next to you. And then they choose how much to give. That was Mark suggested that. But I think Mark had heard of it from somewhere, which was very funny. But we're not going to do that just now, but really thinking to die is gain. It does put a perspective on everything in this life and all of our possessions. So, for example, Paul in chapter 4, verse 11, he says, I'm not saying this because I'm in need. He's talking about the gifts that he's been given by the church. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Paul says I'm contented because this life is not all there is. So when I'm well-fed and when I'm well-off, I'm happy, I'm thankful, I enjoy it. I don't give it back. But when I'm not so well-off, and when I'm hungry, and when I'm not provided for and I have to work, I'm contented. Because this life is not everything to me. It's just the gateway to the life that is to come, to be with Christ, which is better by far. You see, it's completely reasonable, if this life is all there is, that you will invest all of your time, all of your money, to make it the most pleasurable, satisfying experience. And maybe something in your culture will stop you from inconveniencing and knocking everyone out of the way in the process. But in your heart of hearts, why not invest in the best possible life you could have? But if you truly believe that your real treasure is in heaven, then you'll be happy with what you've got, Because getting rich, being secure, is not your goal. So you'll be contented with what you've got, but you'll also be generous with what you've got, because you don't need to hold on to it for some uncertain future, because you're going to be with Christ. And you know that's better by far. And you know what counts and what's valuable is what is done for him. And so you'll think the best investment is to invest my time and to invest my money towards building my relationship with Christ and for others to know him. And as we think about giving today, we've got a special day for giving towards the work of the church, but in particular towards paying back the loans for the building. It's worth just asking for today, but also for every day, what are my bank statements, what are my credit card statements say about what I value and where I'm investing my money? If it's all about gadgets and trinkets and experiences, or about trying to build a secure future with brilliant pension plans and investments and all that kind of thing, storing up lots of treasure there. If it's just about that, if that's what my bank statements and my credit card statements say, and that's all it says, do I really believe that I'm going to heaven? Or do I really think I've got to get the best experience here on this earth? If we really believe to die is gain, we will be both contented with what we've got and generous with what we have. And today's an opportunity for us to do that. This is not a morning to make you feel guilty. Our experience doesn't match up to how we should feel, but in our best moments, we know that to die is gain. We know that living for Christ is the best thing. We know that dying to be with Christ is the best thing. And I just want to encourage you with that this morning, not to beat you up so you feel like, oh, I don't feel like that all the time, but to say, just examine it again this morning. Just put it in front of your eyes this morning and remember that to die is gain. And that will help you to live with purpose and to die with certain hope. And meanwhile, to serve sacrificially, to want to give yourself, to be contented with what you have, and to be generous in giving to others and to the work of the gospel.